Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, good, happy last day of fall. That's what today is, the last day of fall. And as I said before we went on the air today, beginning tomorrow, the days start to get longer. Look at my, let me just check this out here a second. Go to the weather. What time does the sun go down today here? 5:06. 5 o'clock. The sun goes down. But beginning tomorrow, it's going to start going the other direction. Remember, huh? God always moves from darkness into light. So I'm sure ready for December 21st to get here and that sun or that earth or whatever, how that thing operates, to be rolling back towards the proper direction. Welcome to all of you in here. We got about 25 in here. I know the more they're trying to get in. Jared will get to you. I get emails every once in a while. People say, Coach, I tried to get in. I couldn't get in. Well, don't have an explanation for you. You know, the internet, all that stuff. I know that if you're trying to get in here right now, when it pops up, Jared will let you in the queue. Some of you want to be in the queue. Some of you don't want to be in the queue. It's all okay. But we're not really doing anything on our end to try to prevent you. I went to the zoo last night with our grandbabies, took them to the zoo. And it was about 45 degrees when we got there, and it chilled down a little bit, but had a great time last night with the grandkiddos. And it made me think more. I was explaining actually to my little granddaughter Reese that the idea of grace and mercy and how that works, love, unconditional love, but you have to apologize. It was really, really good. And you know, I think about the last couple. I don't know. It's been 2 weeks of pretty deep stuff here on the show. And like I got to tell you, I just continue to get I continue to get deeper and deeper revelation. And one of the things that, you know, I thought when I started this show that a lot of it was going to be cultural, kind of culturally oriented. You know, it's the things that's going on in the culture. And boys, this thing, especially the last couple of weeks, we've gone really, really deep. And, you know, it takes us back to, as Mark Trump would say, first things, man, first truth, back to first truth. And if we're not standing on first truth, Jesus is the one, I think it was him, told us that the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that we're supposed to stand on a rock and not on sinking sand. And I believe that American Christianity in particular has really been built on a lot of sinking sand, a lot of stuff that isn't true, a lot of cracks, a lot of fissures that have appeared in that foundation to the point that we're almost unrecognizable. And I want to talk to you about some of that again this morning. I just want to tip my cap again to Mark Trump and to Jim Kraft and to Gary Pierce and all the guys that are working behind the scenes, Ray LeBlanc working behind the scenes to make this Salt and Light Brigade, Pass the Salt, operate. You know, I'm an idea man a lot of times, and sometimes I'm not really good at finishing it. And I just appreciate all of you out there that are helping us try to finish it. Roger, I hope Roger's feeling better. I think he's home now and got that brand new knee. Now we'll see if he can kick and get him into the NFL or something with it. But Roger, hope you recover quickly. And before I go any further, I had these all pulled up yesterday, and I just want to, Jared, if you can, pull up those pictures from when we were down in Florida. I got so many of them, and I got them on a different one of my computers, and so I got to transfer it from one computer to the other computer. But I just want you guys just to get a brief understanding of what it looked like when we were down there. We're going to go back, Mark and Gary and Jim Kraft. We're going to figure out when. I've already heard from some people who say they would like to come. So I just want to show you some pictures of exactly what we do. Jared said 30 seconds to get them all up there. I, It's my fault I didn't give in. Hey, don't go away because I got some good stuff for you this morning. Promise you. We tried to explain to you about how, you know, the big trees and all that stuff that was going on. And I just want to show you some real quick videos here, pictures here, to give you a feel for what it is that we're talking about. And Jared's pulling those things up. Anybody have anything anything on your chest here you want to get off before we get on? Let me do this. That's Craig. And Craig's got his skid steer. So we cut up the wood, we pile it, and Craig comes along with his machine and picks it up, takes it out to the street. So this isn't somebody's yard. I'll try to explain this as we go. I got a bunch of pictures, okay? So I got about maybe 8 of them here to show you. So Craig gets it to the street for us. Next picture, Jared. There's half of our crew that was working at this one house, and I won't go through who everybody is, but that they were Past Assault Ministries. We cleaned up a cemetery, believe it or not. That's another whole story. A cemetery plot. Somebody came by and asked if we would help, and the trees in that cemetery they were down were unbelievable. Next picture, Jared, if you would. There's one of this is a yard. Look at the size of that tree. Look at this. That's me in the green. Look how I look. I got on about 7 layers of clothes. This is Florida. It's supposed to be warm. Look at the size of that tree. Now, these are in everybody's yards, okay? I just can't even tell you what this looks like. There's one uprooted in the back. You see it. And so we're leaning on this tree, and I can tell you what I'm thinking right there. I'm thinking, what the heck? How are we going to cut this thing up? This is somebody's yard, all right? Luckily, this isn't on their house, but many of these trees this size are on people's houses. And you can see somebody standing over there holding a saw, getting ready. One is sawing, another one getting ready to saw. That's little Vic getting ready to saw, I think. So we're going to try to show you how we clean this thing up. Next picture, Jared. That's when we're done. So, Jared, go back. That's the tree, and this is after we're done with the tree. All right, so it's still got the stumps and some stuff, but you know, I'm telling you, man, put some hair on your chest and strengthen your arms up. Next one, Jared. There's me. I didn't work much, so I had to make sure we had a picture of me acting like I was working. What we have to do is go along. We got to cut every one of those things into a piece, okay? All these huge trees cut into a piece, which, by the way, you cannot pick up. If somebody had a chainsaw and they wanted to clean up their own yard, well, they could cut it up, but then what are you going to do with it? Show me the next picture, Jared. There's me and Gary, and that's Don's John Deere back there. So we cut up that big piece, and then Don comes along with his tractor and picks up that big piece and takes it out and drops it out into the street. This is the same area where those big trees were shown earlier. So that's me and Gary. Look at the size of that thing. That thing would be impossible to move out of your yard if you didn't have the proper equipment. That's why we said we did between $80 and $1,000 of relief for those people down there. Next picture. And so there we are working on another one. You can see how that tree just snapped off, right? I mean, these are everywhere. Just snapped off right in the middle. You can see John Hartzler's working on the saw there. And just a lot of Terry. I think maybe it's Terry. It could be Vic. Somebody bending over there. And we cleaned that. We cleaned up 16 yards like this. Next one. And that may be the last. And that one. Look at that. Now, how do you move that? Let's say you live in this place. How do you move that? How do you get that thing off of your house? Well, we did it, but we couldn't have done it without equipment. So we got a guy up there and cut it into pieces and got the big truck and lifted up the tree the best we could. And that tree is so big around you can't even imagine. One more picture. I think Jared, or maybe we're done. So there we are. There's the crew that we were done. And as you can see, we had some men, we had some women, we had Tree Limb Jim sitting right there beside me. David Arthur B. Doers of the word, not just hearers only. Amen. And so it mattered to those folks. We thank every one of you who contribute. Sorry, Terry, we can't see you there. Kind of standing behind the shadow there at the sign. We're doers. And so we're going to go back in February. One more picture, maybe Jared or not. I don't know. Okay, so there you are, folks. I could show you a whole bunch more, and that's what we did. And we would love to go back. And if you have some heavy equipment that you could help us get down there, we're going to try to raise some money, and we will we'll pay for you to get down there. So that's it. Okay, that's what it looks like. That's what we did. 16 different homes we cleared while we were down there. So I think it was a good thing. That's one of the things. I was on Hagman last night. It's one of the things I talked about. But a picture's worth 1,000 words. If you can't see it, you know, it's kind of hard to understand. Okay, so now I'll shut up for a minute. As I said earlier, anybody have anything for the good of the group before I dig in here? I got some stuff for us. It doesn't even have to be for the good of the group. Anybody have anything that they'd like to say? Got some new folks in here this morning. Bless you all. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Coach, I just had a question about those trees.
Yeah.
How dangerous is it when those trees are like at an angle like that and you got to cut them up?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's why thank God for Mark Trump and thank God for Jim Kraft and Tree Limb Jim. Man, he really helped us because you got to know where to cut, man. You just cut that thing. You don't know what's going to happen. We had a lot of trees that before we would cut them, we'd spend a lot of time trying to figure out, okay, which way is this thing going to roll, right? And it's dangerous. You know, it's dangerous to grab that saw and get in there and be cutting because you don't know the tension at the top of that thing. Hey, Jared, go to the one on the house. Picture the tree that was on top of that. Now, guys, you start cutting on that thing. See, the long branch is also leaning on the house, so you don't know which way that's going to roll. And I don't know if you can get a feeling for how big around that tree is at the base. I'm just telling you, it's amazing. So we had smart guys like Tree Limb Jim who've done this, and Jim Kraft and Mark Trump, and now we better cut here, we better not cut there, we better do this first. And thank God that we were protected. And we didn't just go in there haphazardly and start cutting up a tree. Because you cut that thing in the wrong way, then it pinches, and you can't get your saw out. And I learned a lot. We're gonna go back down. Great question, Jared. Anybody else? Cool. Yeah, here's what I've here's kind of where I want to go this morning. I think I have some really, really good stuff. I want to throw this out, and then I'm like, folks, stop. Christians are reactionary. We are the worst reactionary. The Bible teaches us to have faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe, what is that? Is that 11, Romans, where is that? Now faith is. I should know that off the top of it. Now there it is. What is it? Jared? Hebrews, thank you, Hebrews 11. Now faith is. See, faith is always in the present tense. It is and not was, going to be. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance. Faith is substance. Substance. Boy, I don't know. Oh, Lord. If I go down this road, Jared, what's substance? Go to Webster. That's all right, man. Guys, listen, I'm just going to go where the Spirit takes me. I know where I want to go, but I got to go where the Spirit takes me. And by the way, I want you to know, I really appreciate, I get the most encouraging texts from people and emails. I want you to know it matters. Because, you know, sometimes when the show's over, I beat myself up. But, you know, that's the enemy always comes like that, right? And I want to raise up strong Christians. That's what I want to do. And so I just thank you for, you know, for rolling with the punches with me here. What is substance? Substance. Now, faith is the substance. In a general sense, being something existing by itself. That which really is or exists. Faith, it's real. It's real. And it says it's equally applicable to matter or spirit. See, just because something is a spirit and you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't have substance to it. Doesn't mean it's not real. See, the soul of a man is called immaterial substance. Why? Because material means material. Uh-oh, there's a good word, Jared. What's material? We'll come back there. What's material? Matter. Comes from the word matter, I would imagine. Material. What is material? Consisting of matter, not spiritual, as matteral substance, matteral bodies, important. Okay? So material. Faith is the substance. Faith has its own material, but it's spiritual material. Okay? Thus, the soul of a man is immaterial substance, a cognitive substance endued with thought. Thought has substance. Mark Trump, are you out there? Thought has data to it. Thought is something. It's electrical. What is it? The mind of Christ is something. It's something to it. Faith is the substance. There's something to it. Oh, my goodness. The essential. Okay. So faith is the substance. Let's go back to Hebrews there. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Oh, my goodness. Jared, what's it mean to hope? Let's go to Webster. See, we just read words and we don't even think. Hope is a desire, some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. Amen. See, if you don't expect to obtain it, you don't really have any hope. If you don't expect to obtain it, you don't really see a belief that is obtainable. Hope differs from wishing and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired. You can't say, I hope. Well, I wish. No. Therefore, hope always gives pleasure of joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. Michelle, are you listening? Are you hoping? Do you have faith or are you wishing? Folks in your life, do you have faith or are you merely hoping and wishing? I just wish it. Oh, I believe it and I hope it. Why are we, if we have faith, why are we surprised when God comes through? It's substance. Man, this is good. Wow. Now, faith is the substance of things that you know are going to show up. And it's the evidence that it's going to show up because you haven't seen it yet. That's where it is, right? Now, faith is. We are so reactionary. I have no faith in the political system. I don't have any faith in it. Why? I don't expect anything to come out of good to come out of the political system. I want you to ask yourself, where are you putting your faith? Where are you putting your faith? In your walk and in your life, are you reactionary and moved by the affairs of the day? So if Donald Trump yesterday says he's not going to build the wall, boom, are you done? See, I'm going to tell you, if you wavered that quickly, you didn't have faith to begin with. Somebody say amen. Oh, man, somebody amen. Say amen. If you wavered off of that quickly, then you didn't have faith to begin with. You had wish. You had hope. You didn't have faith. In faith. And when somebody says to me or somebody says to you, Coach, I got faith in you, that's more than just wishing I do the right thing, just hoping I do. And you say, I got faith in him. When it's fourth and one, when whoever I hand the football to, see, when it's fourth and one and the game's on the line, you know what a good coach does? He puts the ball in the hands of the guy that he has faith in. He doesn't hand it to the guy he hopes will get it done or he wishes will get it done. No. No, in fact, I can tell you a number of times in my coaching career, I can tell you one right now in a football game clear back in 1997 when I made a substitution in a game that I should never have made. I knew it when I made it. And then when I made it in its most critical time, the guy I put in the game screwed it up and I knew he was going to. And then after he did it, I said to myself, I want to pull my brains out. What is wrong with you, coach? You knew he would screw it up. Faith, right? Are y'all with me? And so we're so reactionary. We don't understand the ebb and the flow and the give and the take of the spiritual war that we're in. We don't understand that the Lord allows this to happen because he's moving over here. We don't understand he's ambidextrous. We don't understand that he has got the right hand of power, but he's down here manipulating. We don't understand, as I think it was Mark Trump I shared this with. Folks, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Jared, that's Psalm 37:23. Can you go there real quick? Just bear with me a minute, folks. This was not where I thought I was going to go. Psalm 37:23.
Hey, while I was going there, Coach, you know, I want to take faith being substance one step further.
All right.
Faith, you know, one of the basic foundational elements is faith toward God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not your believing in God. That's not your believing about God. That is your actions, your works being manifested, being put out. That is things that can be touched and seen working towards the goals of God.
Hey, hey, Larry. Hey, Trump. That's those electrical waves coming out of you because your faith is real and the Lord knows whether your faith is real or not. Oh, man. If faith is substance, the Lord knows whether you really believe it or not, whether you really trust him, whether you're in till the end, that he endures to the end. The Lord knows that. That's what activates your faith. Yes, come on in.
And Strong's substance means confidence. So faith is the confidence of things hoped for.
Faith is the confidence. And that, hey, Mark Trump, I think there's some electronic ways behind that myself, brother. That's what I think. But it tells us here that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, folks, let's stay here a second. Frequency, that's right, it's Craig. For the steps, understand this. Doesn't say the path. Doesn't say the path. Doesn't say the journey. It says the steps, one by one, of a good man. The steps of a good man. You better look up what good. Not to do it, Jared. Are ordered by the Lord. Now, can somebody help me out here a minute? Because I think that word ordered is deep. I think it's deep. I think we just read. This is another one of Mark Trump taught me this. Read the Bible deep. So I look at this word. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I think, wow, ordered. Sequential. In order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But they're ordered by the Lord. What does that mean to be ordered by? Well, the Lord's the commander in chief. And he not only says 1, 2, 3, 4, he has commanded you 1, 2, 3, 4. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then I thought, you know what? When I took my grandkids out to the zoo last night, we came home. On the way home, we stopped to get something to eat. We had to wait for like a half hour for our food. You know what I said to my wife? We should have ordered ahead. What does that mean? Why, that means that when you get there, it's already waiting for you. So steps of a good man, not only are they sequential, not are they ordered by the commander-in-chief, but they're already laid out. They're already right there waiting on you. They're ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man. So I said to Mark Trump the other day when we were down in, I'm not speaking in confidence here, Mark. I said when we were down in Panama City, I said, the tough thing about our faith walk is this. Our steps are already laid out. And just like when you're driving to try to get someplace, you're going to drive 16 hours. The last thing you want to do is pull over the rest area. But sometimes you have to. And the reason you have to pull over in the rest area is because your assignment is waiting for somebody else's course to get them on the same path. Sometimes you're driving too fast. And so the Lord says, got to pull over, take a potty break. Take a potty break, sit here for about 15 minutes. Because if you sit here for about 15 minutes, when you get back on track, the person that you're supposed to meet up with, they're not there yet. And if you get there too soon, you're going to miss that connection. And so what we see happen, we're reactionary. What Christians do is when it doesn't happen right now, we get upset, we lose our faith, rather than understanding the Lord put us in the rest area because somebody else hadn't made it to where they're supposed to be yet. And I watched the reaction when Donald Trump said he wasn't going to build the wall. I'm here to tell you, Donald Trump is going to build the wall, come hell or high water. And to see how, people had, they had wish in Donald Trump. They didn't have faith in him. They had hope. Hope isn't faith, right? Faith is a substance. Let's go back there, Jared. Go back there. Man, this is good, isn't it? Golly. What is hope? Faith is substance. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. Through faith, we do that. through this whole Hebrews 11 is about faith and the importance of faith. And what is faith? Well, it's believing in an expected end, right? As opposed to hope. What's hope, Jared? A desire. Hope is a desire. Faith is substance. Hope is a desire. A desire, some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining. A slight expectation. I got hope in Trump. I'm not all in, but I got some hope in him. Can you, okay? I'm going to tell you something. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you just got a little bit of hope, you got very little faith. Boy, that's deep right there, boy. That is deep. If all you got is hope, then you're going to feel good, but you ain't going to get much out of it, because faith is a substance. It is data, energy. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Coach, right before Paul teaches on faith in Hebrews 11:1, in Hebrews 6:19, he says, we have hope as the anchor of our soul. So the difference here is, we get our hope up in what we see here in the physical, but then when the Word of God comes to us and we know it's this is what faith is. It's hearing the Word of God, and it's in our spirit, man. It's what moves. This is what connects us to what God is doing. We need to get our hope up high so that we can really believe. When the faith, the Word comes to us, we can believe God for whatever it is He's speaking to us.
So when I
hear about Donald Trump, Coach, I look down at the end. I don't see right now. I'm looking at what's going to happen. I see what's going to happen, and I have faith in what God is doing through Donald Trump.
Okay, so good. And so listen, there's such a thing then, I believe, as, I don't know, Mark Trump, help me out here. I see negative faith. I see negative faith. I hope, I want to believe it, but when it doesn't happen exactly, when I got pulled over into the rest area, I want to say, daggone, I knew it. See? Oh, my goodness. This is really deep.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Faith is the substance of those things that are hoped for, your positive actions, the things that you do towards the goal that you're working toward. That's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Negative faith is the things that you do to defeat the goals you're working towards.
And it's a battleground of the mind. See, hope is, don't lose hope. What Jesse Jackson say? Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. What is hope? It's this encouragement in your own heart that what you're believing for is going to happen. Hope is nothing more than an encouragement for your own soul. Faith is what brings it to pass. Faith is the plug in the wall. Despondency. Go back to Jared. I didn't ignore that. Well, you guys are quiet again. Despondency. Hang on, Chad, just a second. Despondency. What? A sinking or dejection of spirit at the loss of hope. Loss of courage at the failure of hope. Or in a deep affliction or at the prospect of insurmountable difficulties. Huh? Hope deferred maketh a heart sick, what the scripture says. God, you guys are despondent because you don't have faith. You're looking at what you can see. You got hope. You don't have faith. You have wish. You don't have faith. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, well, I believe it was Henry Gruber. He had a dream or something. He got translated. And what he did is he was in this huge warehouse. He believes in heaven. I think it's Henry, okay? Anyway, and then this angel floats by, and it has this glass box with a heart in it. And it set it up on the shelf, and he says, well, what are they doing that? And he said, well, that's an answered prayer, but they don't have enough faith to receive it. So that's right along the thing. See, there are miracles waiting to happen if we just believe with the faith of a mustard seed.
Amen. Oh, yeah, boys, this can get deep, man. This can really, really get deep. How I got on, I know, because I was talking about Christians are so reactionary. We're all reactionary. The scripture tells the book of James that a double-minded man
is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. Huh?
Well, that's right, Dave, because we're reactionary. Why? Because we're waiting on something. We're not going out and taking it. We need to go on the offense and go out there and go get them. Quit waiting on the rapture or somebody else. We're waiting on someone else.
What does the Bible say about the trying of your faith? The trying of your, where is that, Jared? The trying of your faith. Good word, Chad. Trying of your faith. James 1. Hang on, Larry, just a second. James 1. Knowing, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And what's temptation? A temptation is something inside you that tells you, don't believe what you have faith for. That's a temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, Jared, there's a word. There's a word. Go ahead, Larry, while Jared looks up patience.
Yeah, you know, faith being substance and evidence. Hoping is only sparks faith. It only triggers faith. It is not faith until you actually act and you do something on it. Faith is an action. Faith is a works.
Hope is merely watering their faith. That's all it is. All hope is just keep just watering it, hoping it's going to come about. So patience is the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from a constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine. Well, there it is, Larry. Christian submission to the divine will.
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
What is the opposite of the term faith without works is dead? If you said that opposite, what would you get?
Faith
with works.
With works is alive. Is alive.
It's alive. Alive. And that goes with Larry's saying. It's something that exists, something that's action. And I got to share this testimony. If you don't know how faith works, just go. Because what you see and what you do will give you confidence in your renewed faith. And you'll look back at your going and you'll question it. Why did I come? And what I've learned is by going and serving, I see the fruits of the faith of the Spirit. And that's what has got me so motivated here lately, is because I'm seeing what happens through faith. Through just going. In that snowstorm, I just went. I just kept going, you know?
Amen.
So I'd encourage others, if they don't know how this works, to go be amongst some safe folks like us, be in a huddle, you know, go to one of these events, because you're going to be around people who you can trust. And that is like key, is being around people you trust when you're trying to do, because you could do wrong.
So Mark, you could have had, folks, listen, to obey is better than to sacrifice. So Mark Trump, when you got up 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, and you said, you know, I got to go down to Panama City and I got to drive 12 hours to get down there. And you looked on the weather report and you saw that there was a snowstorm coming down through there. You could have at that point, Mark, chose to exercise your faith in a couple different ways. You could have said, well, daggone it, the Lord must not want me to go. Or you could have said, daggone, the Lord really wants me to work hard on this one. And either way, you're going to make a decision whether you're going to give in. Now, I'm not talking about having common sense, but whether you're going to obey and go. To obey is better than to sacrifice. I'm going to say this, and I don't care if it steps on your toes. Some of you right now are planning or thinking about planning on going to Florida in February, but most of you have negative faith. Most of you right now are thinking of all the reasons why you can't. Yes or no? Hell, we got all kinds of reasons why we can't. It ain't hard to find a reason why I can't. But the point that Mark Trump is making is when you obey, when you have the faith to do what it is that the Lord has told you to do, when you have that faith to do it, there is provision and blessing at the end of that road. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in your way. He'll never leave you, never going to forsake you. That means it's not going to be hard. Mark, how long did it take you to get across Virginia in that snowstorm?
I left in the morning, and I didn't get out of Virginia until after dark.
So he spent all day driving in snow that should have taken him 3 hours, maybe 4 hours to get out of Virginia. Instead, it took him 10, 12 hours just to get out of Virginia. How many times did you think about turning around, Mark? How many times did you think about pulling over and say, I'm not going to go.
Well, that's the thing, Coach, is submission allowed me to see the beauty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
As I was passing all the accidents, I got to really just enjoy God and enjoy the trip. But it's through that walk that I had that I now have renewed confidence in my faith. And without me having made it down there and back, I wouldn't have this confidence in my faith. Because God acted. It's just obvious what he did amongst us down there. And you can only see it if you're a part of it. You can hear about it, and that's only a piece of it.
Hey, Mark, we're not trying to make anybody feel guilty. We're trying to increase your faith, baby. I'm looking for something that just popped in my brain.
One of the things, too, is that, see, the devil also doesn't want us to assemble ourselves. So he's going to throw obstacles, speed bumps, all this other stuff in your path. He's going to throw it in there. So that's where, again, our spiritual warfare has got to come in there and say, Lord, make a way, find a way. Craig from Missouri, he finds a way. He finds a way to get to these things. You know, he's able to do it, not just Craig from Iowa. I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm getting ready to send something to you, Jared. Quit that. Stop that.
Coach,
okay,
can I ask a question?
Please do.
And I know it's a different word, but I remember when I was in very little in school, but my science teacher said the word work. You know, like when you're down in Florida, if you guys would have just leaned up against one of those huge trees and pushed all day and pushed on it, you'd have been exhausted in the night, but never moved that tree, you accomplished no work. Work requires movement. Is what I was taught. Now, I could be wrong, Trump or something, tell me wrong. So wouldn't that fit with faith and all this stuff too a little bit? There's got to be some work involved, some movement, or just sitting and thinking about it, it goes nowhere.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Yes. Jared, I'm sending you something here. You're going to get it, and then I want you to get a second to play it. Because I want you to understand a principle here of faith in action, see? And the idea of negative faith. Negative faith. I could tell you story after story after story of things that happened simply because I went. Simply because I did what they asked me to do. That's all. Is this going to come up here, Jared, or not? I just sent it to him. Did I mess it up? I can resend it here. What the heck happened? Why didn't that thing? What the heck's going on? I hate the computer.
Yeah. You know, Coach, if you want motivation for your faith, think about what Jesus said. When I return, will I find faith?
Will I find faith on the earth? Hey, Mark, that's some electric. There it is. That's some electric. Okay, guys, now listen. I want you to watch this because this is Smokey and the Bandit, okay? And y'all remember that movie. I want you to watch. To me, this is the growth of faith. I want you to watch Sally Field's reaction to this. Go ahead, Jared.
Did you see that? They-
they went right through a roadblock.
You some bitches couldn't close an umbrella.
Where, in the woods? Listen, I don't care if your daddy is the mayor. You wreck this car, it's gonna come out of your pay.
Yeah, but Sheriff, he's getting away.
Son, he's not going anywhere. The Mulberry Bridge has been dismantled for the past 6 months.
Oh.
That's not good.
Here comes the faith.
Would be better with a whole bridge.
That's worse.
Why don't you just drop me off here? I'll catch a cab.
Too late now.
I didn't wreck it, Sheriff.
We jumped over that bridge. We did that. Did you see what we did?
Yes, I did.
I want to jump something else. I want to jump our house. I want to jump something.
Well, jump me.
There it is.
Honest to God, it wasn't my fault, Sheriff. I stopped.
Okay, Jared, yeah, right. What's the point? As soon as she jumped the bridge, she wanted to jump something else. As soon as you go, you want to go again. As soon as you conquer fear, you want to do it again.
Amen.
As soon as you stand up and speak, you want to do it again. It's the exercise of your faith that pushes through fear. Hey, guy, coach, that's good. That's good. Come on in here. Somebody come in here. I got something else. Come on. All right. Never mind. Jared, let's go to Romans 12.
Here's our that's empowerment.
It's empowerment. I beseech you, therefore, brothers. Hey, Larry, he's speaking to brothers. I'm not speaking to everybody. I beseech ye, therefore, brothers. By the mercies of God. Oh my goodness. Remember we talked about mercy yesterday? What's mercy? Getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. This is being saved. I beseech you therefore, brothers, that you become saved. And you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, because that's the least thing that you can do when you're saved. And when you're saved, then don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove faith. Isn't that what it says? You might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, your behavior is proof of your faith.
Oh, man.
Your behavior is proof of your faith. And how many times have you been around somebody? I've got to be careful how I say this. How many times have you been with a group and we're going to pray? Brothers, let's all agree in his healing. Let's all join hands and let's pray and let's agree for that healing. Then we pray this flowery prayer and it just sounds so good. And then we go out and get in the car and say to your wife, I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Well, you're praying You're praying hope. Or you're praying wish. You're not praying in faith. Scripture tells us in the book of James that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Where is that, Jared? Man, I'm all over the place today. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. First James 1:8. I like James. James is good. Just start James 1. Because we just read, right? We just read one. We just read. Jared, let's go to 1. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations I'm into. Knowing this, that the trying of your hope, the trying of your wish, no, the trying of your faith, is going to teach you patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Oh, Jared, what's wisdom? Wisdom's the application of knowledge, I think. Wisdom, the right use or exercise of knowledge. The right use or exercise of knowledge. Man.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
If you keep going on 12:3.
I am. Go ahead.
Romans 12:3.
All right.
Okay, so this is about other people's faith. And this is how we should treat others based on the measure of faith that they're given by God. Okay. So this is where we all have different gifts. We all have different faith levels. And we're not supposed to condemn others for their faith because it's given to them by God. And all of us are in the same body. So that's where the gifts and faith, that's where all of it comes together. Faith is your works or your gifts that you go and serve with. And that's given to you by God based on your measure of grace. So it all ties together.
How about this? God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen.
Now people say this, say, well, you got a bigger spoonful than I got. Coach, you got a whole cup of faith. I just got a teaspoonful of. No. You know what the difference is? Every one of us have biceps. Some of us have bigger ones than others. It's a matter of what you exercise. So the Lord said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, right? You know what it says? You had faith of what's faith? What is faith again? Substance of things hoped for? Substance? Faith is, hey, Mark, faith is that electrical charge. Faith is that power. Faith is the power beyond the hope. Faith is that. Man, oh, man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you had faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, go and be thrown in. But guess what? Faith is an action. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you'd jump in that bobcat and take the first scoop and start moving that mountain.
You'd start doing it.
Amen. Faith,
right? Huh?
And head on to 6, Coach. Having a gift's different according to the grace that is given to us.
And we know what grace is, right? Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to list the gifts, okay? But basically, you know, we are given our gifts proportional to our measure of faith. So if you want to tap into the power, all the power in heaven and earth, the keys are right here. First of all, you can't use another man's gift. You got to use the one God gave you.
I can't use Larry's faith.
You can't use his gift.
Or his faith.
Or his faith. That's right. Each man has his own measure of faith through grace. So that it's, I'm telling you, this is just so much a key of where my mind's been at. And the more I submit, the more I become obedient, the more I serve, it tends to be the more things are happening in my life. And I can only attribute it to these verses right here.
It's obedience. So you know me, let me shift gears here, right? Could it be possible that the only reason abortion is still illegal in America is because we don't have the faith to see it in. We don't have the faith. We have faith.
In that context, you're saying that we don't have enough Christians together acting against it for God.
There was the word, right, Larry? Act, right? Act. Paul said, "You show me your faith. You talk all you want to about your faith, Paul, and I'll show you mine. I'm going to show you my faith." And the only reason abortion is legal in America today is because the church doesn't have the faith to end it. Church doesn't have the faith to do it. Now, why doesn't – I mean, there's a lot of reasons we could throw in there. See, the only reason that those kids – that they go into public or into public libraries and read – the transgenders read is because guys like me and you don't have the faith to go in there and say, "Not over my dead body." We don't have the faith to do that. And so, therefore, we sit back and say, how did all those people get – why are they doing that to those kids? How come they're doing that to those kids? Somebody ought to pass a law against it. Really? Somebody ought to pass a law against it? Somebody ought to just go and freaking stop it. If you have
people say, "Hey, how does God allow that to happen?" The question is, how did you allow that to happen?
How did we allow it to happen, right? How Amen. Did we?
Amen.
Now, don't they call it a fight of faith? Fight the good fight of faith? Fight it? Mark, somebody wants to unplug that energy. Somebody wants to. Mark, what do you call it when you back roll energy? What's that called? Like, Mark, the video I sent you yesterday of the guy bungee jumping without a bungee cord. Do you have that? Let me see if I can find that. Jared, you got to see that, because this is faith, baby. That was in my sent file. Let me find it. I'm going to send it. Yeah. Hey, Jared, I'm going to send you this. Jared. Whoops. Hang on. I'm sorry, guys. Just stream of consciousness here. Okay, Jared, I sent you about a two-minute video here. And I want you to watch. If faith is a substance, if faith is a power, if faith is something more, just more than belief, then there's something about losing faith. Or, what was it Sir Isaac Newton said? For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So if I have the faith to believe something, there must be a faith to not believe. There must be a force to not believe. If I'm believing for something good, there must be a force believing for something bad. And the Bible calls that the double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. The double-minded man, right? There's no link? Let me go back here, because I want people to see this. We'll try it again here. Maybe I sent you the wrong one.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'll say this while you're doing that. When you were talking about walking it out and going and doing something, do you remember, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, we were down there in Charlotte for the Dr. Harris and Dr. Flood, them doctors that were aborting at that Presbyterian hospital? They had us down there.
Yeah.
I was telling a story the other day, and I'd never done it before in my life. We're standing outside that hospital. There's doctors, there's nurses, there's police. Everything was out there. And Pastor Bill had that PA system going. And he's just hammering these two doctors, calling them out by name. Now, you know, they heard him out there. Mm-hmm. So that's about an hour. He looks at me and he pulls that thing off around him, the sound system, and hands it to me. He said, "You're up." I looked at him and I said, no, I ain't doing this. So he just made me do it. It was only about 5 or 7 minutes. It was short lived. But I thought, these doctors are going to walk out here and now I've got this thing hollering at him. You know what I mean? But at mm-hmm. this point, now, I can go in front of a crowd and pull out the bullhorn and address something. But I'd have probably never done it if I wouldn't have just stepped out on faith and thought, "I got to try this."
You can't teach what you haven't done. There it is, Jared. Bungee jumping, 1 minute and 22 seconds. Folks, you want to see equal and opposite actions at work? I think that's it, Jared. Play that real quick. It's only 1 minute, 22 seconds. If not, I just sent it to you. Okay.
Equal and equal, Coach.
What's that, Mark?
Equal and equal. Equal forces repel. Opposite forces attract.
Equal and equal. I got you. So it's the two magnets that you put together, and they push back against each other. Here it is, folks. A bungee, 3 minute, bungee cordless jump. A bungee jump without cords. Go ahead, Jared. 3 minutes.
Imagine if we could combine extreme sports with science into one experiment. That somebody would be able to do a wireless bungee jump.
Freeze that a second, Jared. Folks, listen, don't miss this. I'm trying to teach you a spiritual principle that for there is going to be opposition to your faith. There's always going to be opposition to your faith. Equal and opposite. Okay, go ahead, Jared. Team of scientists trying to make the first wireless bungee jump. Here's the story.
Hey, Morgan.
The easiest way to explain it, we work with magnets. These are opposite magnets, and they attract each other. We're going to do the reverse. Imagine this is the electrical magnetical field we're going to work with, and this is the bungee jumper. You see what happens. You see? We're going to use four dishes, which will convert the electricity into a very strong magnetic field.
Go!
The bungee jumper will be wearing a suit with magnets with the same polarities. When he jumps, he comes down and he will not get further than this.
Pushing you back now, okay? Putting it up.
It will look like he's doing a bungee jump and he will go back like this. This is Damien Huguette. This is the guy who's willing, daring to take the jump. We finally found
him. The guy.
I believe in Damien. We've got the right guy on the right place at the right time. In theory, everything should work.
What's that?
All right. Now, as you watch the rest of this, now keep in mind that there's an invisible electromagnetic field, okay, that surrounds the base of these systems they put together. These electromagnetic fields are all over Earth, created by RF and other things. So look at the force when he falls that's there. And just think about how those forces could be messing with our bodies, which are magnetic, electromagnetic, biomagnetic, bioelectric. So just keep that in mind when you watch this and think about the future. All the invisible things that harm us are invisible. So they're not regulated.
When your heart stops beating, what do they do it? Shock it, right? Electrical. Wow. Yeah. Go ahead. Good point,
Mark. Of course, we want to make sure everything's safe.
Hi guys, we are in Normandy. Let's see what's gonna happen tomorrow, you know, the big day. Of course, I'm a little bit scared about the idea of jumping without the bungee wire.
Écoute, je te promets, je t'appelle demain dès que je termine. Directement pour le saut. Ok? Tu me promets? Ok, bisous, bisous. Ciao, ciao.
This guy's gonna jump off of a tower. Gonna jump off of a tower with no bungee cord.
Damien ready.
Damien is ready.
Okay, let's do it, guys.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, jump.
You did it!
I can just say that it's one of the greatest feelings in the world, you know? Just in a second,
oh,
when I rebound.
My goodness. Faith is a force. Faith is a substance. Faith is, oh my goodness, Mark, faith is an equal and opposite reaction to lack of faith. Oh my goodness. I just saw Rob Pugh's father-in-law just went in for surgery. Lord, we just lift up Rob's father-in-law right now, Lord. Pray that you would touch the hands of the surgeons, whatever has to happen there, Lord. And we believe for complete healing in Jesus' name. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is not faith. Hope is the water for your faith. Wow. God bless you, man. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead.
You cannot have one without the other.
Can't have one without the other. That sounds like something right off of Sesame Street. Can't have one without the other. Amen. Go ahead.
Faith is works. It is the substance. You can't separate.
Amen. Amen.
You can't. I'll see some of you in Panama in February. Bless you. See you tomorrow.